The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and the briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, and behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this, or that I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." And the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel text today is a continuation of the confrontation from last week. Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey, all but proclaiming himself Israel's king. He has cleansed the temple in his great prophetic act. And he's taken up residence in the temple teaching when these priests, whose job it was, wouldn't do it anymore. The priests confront him about where he got his authority. But Jesus turns the tables on them. Jesus lets them know that there are many people that he can work with. People who have blatantly rejected him, but later repented. Come on into the kingdom. People who have said yes to the kingdom, but then go missing. Return. Repent. And live. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom. Priests, those who both rejected Jesus immediately and refused to repent. Jesus can't do anything with these ones. But those priests hold the position. And this is an important point, I think, as we attempt to hear this parable. When God tells the vineyard parable through Isaiah, our Old Testament lesson, the vineyard is Israel, the people of God. And the vineyard itself is unfruitful. In Isaiah, all the vineyard yields is wild grapes. So the Almighty's judgment is that he's going to tear up the vineyard, which I think we can say was accomplished through Israel's exile. The temple, Solomon's temple, the one with the presence of God in it, is destroyed. The line of David is all but cut off to the extent that David's eventual heir is a carpenter living in Nazareth. The rule of the Promised Land passes from Babylon to Persia to Greece to Rome with lots of puppets along the way, like Herod. The vineyard that the Lord had cleared for his people, cleared of the Canaanites to plant his choice vines of Israel, is torn out. But when Jesus tells the vineyard parable, the vineyard is no longer unfruitful. It's not the vineyard that gets torn out. The vineyard is producing its fruits in season. And the master of the house desires these fruits. The trouble in this parable is that those who hold dominion over the vineyard, those who hold the positions, Jesus tells those who hold the positions in Jerusalem to hear this parable. The master of the house has made this new vineyard. He's leased it out to tenants. He's entrusted the care and well-being of the entire vineyard to those who have signed their name on a contract. But when the master sends his servants according to the contract, they act as if the contract doesn't exist. The vineyard is ours, they decide. They even look at the son and say to themselves, let's kill him and take his inheritance. Those priests were not stupid. They understood that the parable was told against them. And they were right. And the impact of that parable is likewise clear. When those who hold illegitimate authority refuse to repent, or likewise refuse to release it, the Lord Almighty will not stomach this forever. When the owner comes, what will he do? He will put those wretches to a miserable end. The priests themselves answer. And so it happens. Within the lifespan of this generation, the temple would be destroyed, not to be rebuilt, and the entire office of high priest would be gone. But the vineyard was still fruitful. The positions of leadership that denied the fruit of Israel to the owner of the vineyard would be destroyed. But the kingdom would be given to those who would produce its fruits. And the foundation of those new tenants would be Christ, the Son who was killed to try and steal that inheritance. And there's an interesting irony to those priests' thinking, because it's by the death of the Son that we do get his inheritance. By the death of Jesus on that cross, all of sinful man receives forgiveness. By the death of Jesus, we receive eternal life. But the great failing in those priests' thinking is disbelieving the resurrection. The Sadducees, the priests that were confronting Jesus, did not believe in the resurrection. Superstitious rumors. Peasant opium. When they killed someone, they stayed dead. There wasn't a God who would show up and bring justice. But that is what the Father does. The Father shows up. The Father raises Jesus and places him in the midst of the world as the cornerstone. Anyone who wishes to build anything that will last must build on this stone. The stone that the builders rejected. The Son, whose inheritance we thought that we had stolen, instead has taken it all back, including ourselves. And he stays with his people by his Spirit. That doesn't stop many from trying exactly what those priests were doing. But the promise of the Father stands. If you try to remove this stone, you'll be broken to pieces. If you trip over this stone, the crucified Christ, you'll be crushed. If we think that the vineyard is ours, and we can just build whatever Tower of Babel we want, it'll come tumbling down, and we'll lose everything. Because this is the cornerstone, and everything built on it is what is marvelous in the Lord's eyes. Now, I want to attempt to claim this for us. We individually have the call to build on the cornerstone that is Christ. But most of us don't have the offices. I might have the office, which should make me very cognizant that I can't build anything by my own effort. And I surely can't substitute my thoughts for the clear word of God. If I do, I'm just repeating, like many have, the errors of the priests Jesus was directly addressing. But remember, the vineyard is fruitful. Regardless of the leadership, The people of God are producing its fruits. I can't help it. The word does not return empty. But what do we do when we find we are laboring under such tenets? I believe the message of Jesus here is that these situations, the Father does not tarry long. The Father will come and take it from them and give it to those who will produce its fruits. He will let it out to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. We look to the Father for our deliverance. It will come. If we are blessed, it will be the final coming of the kingdom in its fullness, when all the injustices are corrected and Jesus himself takes up residence in the vineyard. But even if we are not that blessed, still, the owner will come and set things right. That might include an active role. Maybe you are a future Luther, or a St. Francis, or a Gregory. But the primary role is still that we produce the fruits of the kingdom. Those fruits will not be denied to Christ. They will not be lost. They will not rot. They are produced and Christ will receive them. And our Christian lives are the fruits of that repentance. Because the spiritual reality is that we are all laboring under such a wicked tenet. This world is Satan's. The people of God are resident here. They are fruitful here. But Satan refuses to turn over the fruits. Now the kingdom of God has already defeated Satan. The notice to clear out has been given to him many, many times. Lots of servants have been sent to that old scratch telling him to hand over the fruits. And he's abused every one of them. Not the least, the son. But this vineyard is no longer his. When the owner comes back, Satan has no power to stand against him. He'll put that wretch or wretched in. We look to the Lord for our deliverance. It will come. Deliver us from evil, which he has surely done. Unlike that Old Testament vineyard, which the Lord brought to an end. When the Lord returns this time, it's not to destroy the vineyard, but to deliver it, to gather the fruit that it has produced. The leadership today is not always what we hope for. We hope for Christ, who no individual man can replace. Today, we labor spiritually under the shadow of Satan, under the powers and principalities of this dark realm. Yet we see the light of Christ, light that enables us to grow and to be fruitful. We should not forget that the entire place was built by God. He planted a vineyard, he put a fence around it, he dug in the wine press, and he built a tower. It was made by his hand. And it was made good. Tomorrow, goodness, the goodness of everything built on the cornerstone, will be made clear to everyone. Amen.